Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM. Fresh FM.
Right, live your life. That is TI alongside Rihanna. Bring your time to exactly 15 minutes past 7 o'clock. I think at this point, we need to make peace with the fact that she will never, ever give us music ever again. I just had to rub that in because it breaks my heart every time I hear her music because I'm just like, why have you deserted us? But also, it's fine. Rihanna is minding her business in her country, living her best life. But the one institution that will never leave you deserted is the Ministry of Health and Social Services. So right now, we are having Walter Skamanya, who's a PRO of the Ministry of Health and Social Services, and we're about to have a conversation pertaining to the malaria problem that we are facing in Namibia. Walters, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, good. So we saw that you were working overtime during the festive season. Did you manage to get any rest?
Not really, you know. Uh-huh. When you are a civil servant, you are 24/7 on duty, especially when you are in the health sector.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no total rest.
There's no total rest, hey? Yeah, but sure. So much has been happening also, and I know that obviously we're coming out of the festive season, and this whole malaria situation went over the heads of so many people, hey? Can you perhaps just contextualize for us and explain to us the current situation or status of the malaria outbreak in Namibia at the moment?
Okay. Yeah, I must say that malaria remains a significant public health challenge in Namibia, particularly in the 10 endemic regions, which is Ohangwena, Omsati, Oshana, Oshkoto, Oshodonjupa, Omaheke, the Tukavango regions, Kunene, as well as Zambezi. Malaria cases has been increasing significantly in most malaria endemic regions, starting from the 5th of January this year, 2025. Yeah, so Namibia has reported a total of 3,540 malaria cases. Cumulatively, a total of 485 admission or severe cases were recorded, as well as, unfortunately, 20 deaths. So malaria cases due to a total transmission were 2,085, accounting for 51% of the cases reported. Well, the imported cases also reported were 1,455, and that accounts for 49%. So currently now we can say a total of 17 out of 25 malaria endemic districts have been surpassed the endemic threshold and are experiencing an outbreak. The most affected districts include Inanna, which stands at 27%, Okongo with 14%, Ingela with 14% as well, Otapi with 12%, as well as Kurenkuru with 9%. We are mentioning this to be the most affected one. But this does not rule out that some other places they're excluded.
They're excluded.
There could be also some issues, or maybe they should not overcomfort themselves and say they are not part of this.
The affected areas are safer. And it's actually really interesting that you mentioned that right now, because, you know, I actually had malaria at one point. It was so odd, let me tell you. So I went for a trip with my friends. We went to Irindi, just here in Omaruru. And because it was raining that side, and we came back and it was hot in Windhoek. I thought it was just the weather change, you know what I mean? And then I go to the clinic, and it turns out that I actually had malaria. And I'm like, but we don't have malaria in Erongo region, you know? But I was one of those cases that also happened in places places in Namibia that are not necessarily expected to actually have malaria.
Yes, yes. So it's only that they are not severely affected, but they could be affected in one way or another.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
No, totally understandable. Yeah. So those numbers are crazy. So let's just talk about some of the major risks, factors of malaria. What are some of those factors that contribute to malaria outbreaks?
Yes, the factors that contribute to malaria outbreak, we can say that malaria cases do increase during the rainy season.
Yeah, yeah.
And why do we have them during the rainy season?
Yeah.
You discover that this is the season where we have longer grasses. This is the season that we have rainwater that are stagnant everywhere.
That's true.
This is the season that, you know, the trees becomes green and so forth. So through that, you discover that these are the other factors that can contribute to the issue of malaria increase.
All right. So as a a ministry, obviously. What would you say are some of the key preventative measures that the Ministry of Health and Social Services is undertaking right now to reduce the malaria outbreak incidents in Namibia?
Yes, thank you very much. When we talk of the preventative measures or the preventive measures, the ministry, what is doing?
Mm-hmm.
We are doing the indoor spray,
okay.
which is conducted yearly in 9 malaria regions of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then despite that, also the ministry do engage in an intensive campaign whereby we are encouraging people that to prevent themselves from malaria, they should be able to wear long-sleeved clothing,
mm-hmm.
Especially at night. And then also to use mosquito nets.
Mm-hmm.
When they sleep, they should see to it that they sleep under the mosquito net.
Yes.
Then we also encourage people to close their windows and doors to avoid mosquito entry in their rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We also encourage the community members to give access to our spray, men and women, that when they do this IRS spray,
they should allow them
access to their places,
mm-hmm.
as well as to remove stagnant water, as well as the unwanted grass. All these are preventive measures that the community can engage to reduce.
To help also the ministry.
Yes, to mitigate the effects of malaria.
Mm.
Yes.
So perhaps maybe, as much as you have the team on the ground, they're going from place to place, spraying people's houses and so forth, are there any challenges that you're experiencing as the Ministry of Health and Social Services during this campaign runs?
Yes. The challenges that these people do experience is community refusal to unlock their houses during the IRS campaign.
Oh, because you don't know.
Yes, but sometimes
it's
we cannot say it's refusal. No, it's a rainy season, it's the plowing season, people are busy.
True. Yeah.
Sometimes you get there, you don't find the people, they have gone into their crop fields and so forth.
Yeah,
despite the effort that they have been sensitized beforehand, they have been told that tomorrow will be in your place, we will be doing this will be spraying and so forth. Sometimes we can't confine people from not doing their daily business
duties. That's true.
Yeah, sometimes they get into the business, some other people, they go for their living. So that has become a challenge. IRS also is important, also is being classified as an intervention that can reduce the effects of malaria. But above all, that's the most challenge that we have. Sometimes also cooperation from the community. They don't bring their side, as well as the ministry is willing to help them.
Okay.
So those are some of the challenges.
Some of the challenges that you have. All right. Yeah. So in case you join us right now, we're having a conversation with Walter Skamanya. He's a PRO of the Ministry of Health and Social Services. And in case you didn't know, we have a malaria problem in Namibia. We'll just get into more of this conversation on the other side of this.
Days on 102.9, Namibia's heart and soul.
Namibia's heart and soul indeed. Now this morning we're having a conversation that is with Walter Skamanya, the PRO of the Ministry of Health and Social Services. And in case you joined us right now, we are having a conversation pertaining to the malaria outbreak that we have in Namibia right now. So Walter, as we can just pick up with the conversation that we had, I'm still actually trying to to wrap my head around the numbers that you shared with us at the beginning of this conversation. It's just, it's crazy. But yes, what would you say are some of the common misconceptions and myths that a lot of people have about malaria that we need to address so that we can also just help the ministry fight this issue of malaria in Namibia?
Yes, despite the widespread effort that to raise awareness about malaria, many myths and misconceptions still exist in our communities or among our people. And it's these misunderstandings that can hinder the efforts that the ministry is trying to prevent and to mitigate the malaria. Some of the myths is that there are some people who think that they are immune to the disease.
Can never be me.
That cannot be correct.
Yeah.
It cannot be correct. The only way to get away with it is to observe those preventive measures that I have mentioned. Not that to say that you are immune. The other issue also, the other myth is malaria. Some other people might think that malaria can be cured by over-the-counter medication. It's something that we have to see a medical professional
give
you a prescription. And then it's through that we can be cured.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then there are some people who think that maybe our region, it's not been mentioned or it's not been classified.
Oh, that was me. Once upon a time, until I fought for my life.
You know, we should see to it that these are just statistics, and then these are the most affected one. But
that's true, that's true.
We can say everyone is affected. So everyone is entitled to take the measures.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of the myth is that there are some people who say that they don't feel comfortable to sleep under mosquitoes, and then they just decide to say that no, it's okay here, this and that. But we advise people extremely that no, they should sleep under mosquitoes. They should have their places sprayed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I just really wanted to take your attention back to, you know, your team that is on the ground, that is going around spraying houses and so forth, right? How can the community identify these people to know that they're from the Ministry of Health and Social Services, just for safety?
Yes. You know, they move with government vehicles.
Okay.
And then they are also identical when they get there. They identify themselves. They have these spray machines with them, and then when they are there, their language is simple and straightforward. They would not ask you to unlock or to give access. They will ask you to lead them in your house for spraying, and then they'll take you through to say, no, you know, bring your things together, cover this and this and this. And then when they will spray also in your presence. They don't go in homes where the homeowners are not there. If they found that the house is locked, they'll quickly move to the next person and they'll leave a message to say, we were here. So in other words, I must say they are identical.
Are
identical.
Yes. All right. So, you know, we do recognize the efforts by the Ministry of Health and Social Services, but I just want to know, how can we advise the communities right now to basically, like, what can they do to meet the ministry halfway, and basically what can they do to prevent themselves against or protect themselves against malaria?
Yes. What can they do? The favor that they can do. You know, we usually say your health starts with yourself.
Come on.
Yes. So if they try to live by the advices, the messages that the ministry is giving, as well as the preventive measures, they should be able to be at the safer side.
Also,
if they try to avail themselves in terms of these people who are spraying, so they should be able also to be better.
Absolutely.
But it will be a problem whereby you think you have other alternatives that can help you other than the Minister of Health. You know, there are a lot of beliefs that are going on. There are some people that I've seen, they do this and that. Sometimes they burn elephant dung for them to see that this smoke can be able to do this. Well, but our message is clear and straightforward. Use what is scientifically proven
to actually work.
Yes.
I know that a little bit earlier on, Walters, you actually shared, you know, we need to wear, like, you know, long sleeve shirts and so forth. So maybe just to someone who's listening right now, as much as, you know, at one point in our schooling career we're taught about malaria, what are some of those symptoms to really look out for, so that I can just, you know, take the steps, like, you know what, I actually need to go see a professional right now to help me in this situation? Because some people might, you know, something might have been taught to them or, you know, shared with them. Just a little bit of a refresher, symptoms to look out for.
Yes, thank you very much. Some of the symptoms, fever is one of them.
Then
headache is one of them. And then, you know, shivering or feeling chilly is one of them. Measles pain is one of them. Nausea and vomiting is one of them.
Yes.
Having poor appetite is also one of them. And then diarrhea is also one of the symptoms, as well as feeling fatigue. These are some of the symptoms that when you feel them, please just find consult or go to the nearest facility for screening and further assistance.
So before we let you leave, because you have a lot to do, what are your final words that you would like the community to take note of as we wrap this conversation here?
Thank you very much. With my last words, I would want to encourage the public or the community to actively participate in the campaign, which is intended to eliminate malaria by taking precautions and measures into their own hands. You know, we understand that your health is our priority, but we want you to take part because your health starts with you.
Yeah.
I will not be there to supervise and say, are you sleeping under a treated mosquito? Mm. Are you wearing a long sleeve t-shirt?
Yes.
But what my task ends here. There is where I end, and then that's where somebody should begin going forth on.
Going forward, yes.
Yeah. So these are some of the things that if we cooperate, if we do that, and then the other issue also is to see to it that the community should ensure that if they have traveled to places that is affected by malaria or regions, they should seek medical attention when experiencing malaria signs such as fever, headache, chills and shivering body and other symptoms that I just mentioned earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to seek medical assistance.
As quickly as you can, please.
As quickly as you can.
Yes. Walters Kamanya, the PRO of the Ministry of Health and Social Services, thank you so much for your time. And we see the work that the ministry is doing, and hopefully with this conversation that, everyone is going to do their part as well.
Yes.
So that we can fight this together.
It was a pleasure having this conversation. We'll still have more to come.
Yeah, no, you are more than welcome. This is home for you at this point.
Thank you.
Alrighty. So that is a conversation that we had with Walters Kamanya, the PRO of the Ministry of Health and Social Services. And yes, malaria is a problem right now in Namibia, and it is very imperative that you and I do our part.
Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.